But it wasn't long after that, a few decades, where it got harder to be a Christian. Christians were persecuted, rooted out. And it goes through all sorts of stages. I mean, at one point, if you can imagine, if you didn't show up in church on Sunday, you were fined, as Linda was reminding me the other day. Someone was there from the town who was watching who showed up in church and keeping notes. And if you didn't show up, there was a fine coming your way. Can you imagine? And then there was times where if the Catholics were the representing the government, if you were Protestant, you went to Catholic worship, and then you snuck away and maybe met in the loft of a barn or something to have your Protestant worship, but you made sure you showed up at Catholic worship. And then the vice versa, when the Protestants were in charge, the Catholics had to meet separately, but made sure they showed up at Protestant worship. So can you imagine all, being legally bound to come to worship? How do you choose Jesus if you're legally bound, right? So we live in a very different time where we get to choose to be here. It's about what goes in our heart and mind to choose to be here. So, in thinking of some of the reasons, and you'll have your own reasons, but some of the reasons that sort of capture the bigger picture, I think one of the reasons we choose is because we all want meaning in our life. We want to make sense of some of the stuff in life that doesn't make sense. We want to make sense of our everyday. And so coming and hearing the stories of Jesus, thinking about God's presence in our life gives a meaning, a purpose. We know there's something bigger than ourselves that's going on. It isn't just all left up to me or you, but there's this bigger purpose that we capture in the compassion of God, the love of God. There's also the sense of belonging. You know, we come in and people are going, oh, I'm glad to see you, and hello, and good morning, and how are you today, and noticing each other. That sense of belonging is so important to why we come.
There's another addition to that too, between the wider purpose of living in God's way, following the way of Jesus, the sense of belonging and forming community, the piece that the choir sang this morning with text from Carrie Waylander speaks of what it means to be a neighbor one to the other, even in the most gritty of times, when we feel like we don't belong, when we feel like we are set apart, when we are full of frustration and anger, and where do we place that? And who will the neighbor be that will come alongside and listen to us and be with us when we are in grief, when we are suffering, when we are alone? So the it ties in beautifully with that third little bullet that's in your service bulletin this morning, and that is that, you know, how do we go about intentionally transmitting the values that we learn about growing up and being within a community of faith? Those values that we inherit from across the centuries, the millennia, from the prophets and the sages and Jesus, the writers of the New Testament letters, the Apostle Paul, are full of values, full of answers to the question of how then shall we live? It's really a values question. How then shall we live? And how do we answer that in the context of Christian community? So we have done some work as a congregation, and we have come up with, we have discerned, that's a better word, We have discerned four values that we place in front of us as a way of helping to define what it means to be a people of God, living in community, being neighbor one to the other. Do you know what those four values are? Courage is one, yes. Compassion, yes.
Diversity
is three. Respect, wow. Okay. This is my goal. One of my values is to have everyone in the congregation be able to tell me what those four values are and to tell each other. So courage, respect, compassion, and diversity. These are the values that we've discerned as a congregation that help frame and give direction to who and whose we are as God's people. We hold them close, and we find ways within our practice, within our daily life, to bring those values to life, to breathe those values, to breathe life into those values so that they live. That they live within who we are and in our practice of being neighbor one to the other. So when you think about neighbor and think about values, I would argue that that is one of the most fundamental frameworks, one of the most important things that we hold on to is love of neighbor. Love of neighbor is probably the most significant ethical practice that those of us who live within the Judeo-Christian tradition can offer one to the other. It frames the very basis for our decision making. That makes sense? So if we were to ask ourselves, how do I decide? If I have A and B in front of me and I need to choose one, how then will I bring to bear the practice of my values and the basic ethic of Christian faith, which is love of neighbor? Then we have a framework upon which to decide and to know how best to live going forward. How then shall we live? Diversity, respect, compassion, and courage. How will we practice those values? Under what framework do they surface for us? Love of neighbor. Most important ethical decision-making tool that we have as the body of Christ.
And it seems to me that, you know, living love of neighbor, compassion, is not easy to do alone. If I'm just all by myself, it can get really hard at times. So we come together to support one another in living those values, to encourage one another to do it together, which always makes it easier. So some ideas about why we choose church. Each of us are going to have our individual nuances and perspectives on that, but just a bit of a framework. Why do we choose to be here? Because we get a choice. Amen.
Amen.